Okay, today's daf is Nun Chet. We're going to start at the very bottom of Nun Chet Amubet with Rav Shrevia. Before we start with Rav Shrevia, two lines from the bottom, we're just going to review that what we have was the Mishnah that said, Kod Shekodjim Shechatam Barosh HaMizbeach, sacrificing korbanot, slaughtering korbanot in the Mizbeach, is it allowed? So Rabbi Yossi says, if you do it, it's fine. It's as if it's done in the Tzafon. And Rabbi Yehuda said, only on the northern half. And then we had a whole discussion. Rabbi Yochanan said, from here you can infer that, again, Rabbi Asi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yossi holds that the whole Mizbeach is B'tzafon. And then Rabbi Zera questions that and says, what, you mean the other one thinks that it's Chetzi Chetzi, and that doesn't work? Anyway, then he says, then Rabbi Zera himself, and that's what we were in the middle of, Rabbi Zera himself says, well, if Rabbi Yochanan said it, how could he say that Rabbi Yossi holds that the Mizbeach is all in the Tzafon and it doesn't appear in a Mishnah anywhere? So he tries to find it in a Mishnah, and he takes that Mishnah, which gave all these measurements that you see on the board about, it was 27, that they put this, starting over the 27, but that the Marachashniya of the Ketoret, which had to be opposite the Heichal, was 4 amot off the southern end toward the north, right? So from the southern side of the Mizbeach, 4 amot off, and then we had the whole numerics, the computations, try to figure out what would make the most sense. So he said it must be that he held the whole Mizbeach was B'tzafon, and that the 4 amot were just because you don't want it by the edge, because there was the Sovev, and there was the Yesod, and then you need a space to walk, and that's why the Maracha was where it was. That was the first answer that Rabbi Zera gave. The second option to understand that Mishnah was no. Maybe, in fact, the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds it's half-half. And I'm sorry, maybe it's not Rabbi Yossi right here. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that it was chetzio-chetzio. The problem was that the closest number to 4 was 6, not 4. And then we said, right, then you'd say it would basically be opposite the entrance to the ulam, and therefore it would have to be moved 6 amot over so that it would be opposite the exit of the ulam. Remember, there were these two opinions. When we say petach ha-moed, does it mean from the opening of the ulam, which is 20 amot, or is it from the opening of the echal, which is only 10? So if you say 20, then that gives us an extra 5 on that side. That gets us to it would have to be moved, if it was half and half, it would have to be moved 6 over. And that would leave the Maracha right there opposite the exit of the Ulam. And that would work also. So he says you can't prove this Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And now the whole reason we thought it was Rabbi Yossi is because Rabbi Yossi is the one who says anything taken from the inside to the outside and the outside to the inside has to be taken to the closest spot possible, meaning it has to be opposite the entrance. Now, then they say, well, maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda, so how do you deal with the fact that Rabbi Yossi was the one who said it has to be taken? So you just have to assume that everybody agreed with that principle. He was the one who said it, but that nobody really disagrees with that. So then we could suggest that maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda who holds it's half-half, and then they say, well, why don't you suggest it's Rabbi Yossi who holds half-half, and that maybe that fits with Rabbi Yossi? And we said, no, because we don't have anywhere that Rabbi Yossi actually says it, and we have explicitly that Rabbi Yehuda says it, that it's half-half. So therefore, more logical that it's Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going to have a third option, that maybe it's somebody else entirely. Rav Shrevia Amar Hamane, maybe this Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So three interpretations. Either it's Rabbi Yossi and the Mizbeach is B'tzafon, or it's Rabbi Yehuda and the Mizbeach is half-half, and the 6 is really 4 because you get rid of the Yesod and the Amma of the Yesod and the Amma of the Sovev. So now they suggest a third reading. Maybe it's according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion. D'tanya Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. Mitoch shenemar v'natata et hakiur ben omoed v'gomer v'et mizbach ha'olam. Okay, now we're going to get into a separate problem. Okay, what we're going to basically say is that maybe it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili who holds that the mizbach is kulo b'tzafon. And how do we know Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds mizbach is kulo b'tzafon? By the way, Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. There's all these books that talk about, they're called Klalei Talmud, which is, what are the rules when you have a Stam name? How do you know who it is? So the Stam Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. I'm saying that specifically because we have Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda mentioned, and now we have Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and this is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. So now they're going to suggest that maybe Rabbi Yossi, maybe it is Tzafon, like we said originally. We said, you know, it's Rabbi Yossi who says it's Tzafon, but now we're going to say maybe it's not that Rabbi Yossi, maybe it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili who says it. How do we know that Rabbi Yossi Aglili thinks the Mizbeach is Kulo B'Tzafon? We're going to have a similar type thing, except with a different issue, which is, where is the placement of the Kiyur? Okay, I actually wanted to look and see where they put it here. Is it on this map? Bor Abora Kiyor. Here's the Kiyor. Okay, fine. So you can see on the map, it's that little gold circle there. Okay, it's on the Darom side. Okay, by the way, I didn't have a chance to really look it up, but we talked yesterday that there's three basic opinions. Is the Mizbeach in the Tzafon? Is the Mizbeach in the Darom? Or is the Mizbeach half-half? And then we said that our picture really doesn't match either. And there's an interpretation of a Mishnah, I think it's the Mishnah Midot, it must be, that explains that maybe it's like our picture here. And our picture matches, even though it doesn't appear in the Sugya at all, which is strange, but that there's an interpretation of the Mishnah there which holds that it was mostly in the Darom, but a little bit in the Tzafon. Okay, and that our picture matches that fourth opinion, which just doesn't appear in our Sugya at all. Okay. So now, the psukim about the Kiyor say like this. V'natata et ha-kiyor bein ohel moed u'bein ha-mizbech. Okay, so the kiyor should be placed between ohel moed and the mizbech. Okay, so now, look at the picture. That's clearly not between ohel moed and the mizbech, right? Between ohel moed and the mizbech should be opposite the ohel moed before you get to the mizbech. That's where the kiyor should be, according to the pasuk. Okay, however, there's a separate problem with that, and there's a reason why the kiyor is not going to be placed opposite Ohel Moed before you hit the Mizbech. Because it also says, Ve'et Mizbech Ha'ola Sam Petach Ohel Moed. You should put the Mizbech Ha'ola opposite Ohel Moed, which sounds like there shouldn't be anything in between. So we now have this problem. On the one hand, the Kiyor is supposed to be between the Ohel Moed exit, meaning the exit from the Ulam HaNeichal, before you get to the Mizbech. However, right, so right in this spot it should be. Okay? However, depending on obviously where your Mizbech is, it could be there, right? Depending on where your Mizbech is, but it should be somewhere over there. However, that would create a block between, there's another pasuk which implies the Mizbech has to be opposite the opening. So therefore, what does the source say you should do? It's a braita. Mizbech bepetach ol moed v'lo kiyor bepetach ol moed. Okay, so therefore, based on the second pasuk, they say the mizbech has to be there and not the kiyor. You would imagine the mizbech would take precedence. Hechan hayad notno. So then, where do you put it? Bein haulam l'vila mizbech mishoch kim'ak l'pei darom. Okay, so that's exactly where you see it in the picture here. Okay, it's in the space that's between the wall of the ulam, let's say, rather than the entrance to the ulam, the opening, it's the wall of the ulam to that whole area. Remember, that whole area is called Bein Ulam LaMizbech. So again, maybe it's just that little area, maybe the whole area. So as long as it's between the space where the wall of the ulam is until the Mizbech, except it's not actually where the Mizbech is. Now, in theory, you could have put it, right, somewhere in between the wall of the Mizbech and the wall of the Ulam, right? So not the opening of the Ulam, but if you move to the side, depending on where your location of the Mizbech is, in theory, there could have been room. If you see this picture, if you draw a line from the Mizbech, it doesn't overlap with the Mizbech at all. It's actually off to the side, which is exactly what's described here. So let's read it again. Mishoch kim'a klapei adarom. In other words, put it in the area between the ulam and the mizbech, not opposite the opening to the ulam. So move it over, but move it over even more so that it basically starts from the edge of the mizbech. So it's not overlapping at all with the mizbech. Now the question is, why not? In theory, and that's what they're going to go through, if you thought the mizbech is here, you could have put it there. If you thought it was there, you could have put it there. Okay, and then in the end, we're going to conclude it must be because you thought mizbech was b'tzafon, and that's why the kiyor can't be there. I'll already kind of tell you the punchline, which is you're not allowed to have any other kelim on the tzafon side. So in theory, you could have put the kiyor in a space that wasn't opposite the opening. It would still be between the ulam wall and the mizbech wall. But you can't, because if it's all in the tzafon, then you can't put kelim in the tzafon. Now, why can't you put kelim in the tzafon? Because you need the space for the shchita kodesh kodeshim. You can't crowd up the space. Right? Think about a house, right? You're just an architect. The more things you put in your house, you're blocking usable space. So it's nice to have bookshelves, but then you're losing space. So they didn't want to lose space in the tzafon side, so no kelim were allowed in the tzafon. Which, by the way, explains why some people think the mizbech is kulo b'darom. Because they say you can't have kelim in the tzafon, not even the mizbech. Obviously, those who hold that it's b'tzafon, you know, say, oh, well, right? And then you can see where it all comes from. Because we've been wondering, why are we debating where exactly it is? I mean, obviously, we want to know where it was, but why is it so critical? So if you take that theory, so if you say it's in the darom, it makes perfect sense.
No kelim are allowed in the tzafon. If you say it's chetzi chetzi, maybe it's because you understand that pasuk, olotecha v'zvach, right? You can do the olot and the shlamim. Well, if you could use half of it to do the shchita for the kochi kochi, it must be half of it was in the tzafon. And then if you say the whole thing was with tzafon, you obviously think, well, when it said no kelim, it meant all the other kelim, but the mizbeach obviously can be there. And maybe because of you, remember, the whole mizbeach you can sacrifice on, and that must be because it was exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. It's because you hold that. In other words, it's the reverse. And he said, you can infer from there that the mizbeach is b'tzafon. It's the reverse. You could say the mizbeach is b'tzafon because the pasuk says you can do all your olot there, which means it must be on the northern side. So you can, you know, unless, of course, you view the mizbeach as its own, you know, the one who says it's all the darom, views the mizbeach as its own separate entity, even though you can't do anything on the darom side, shchit of kochi kochim, dock on top of the mizbeach, you're allowed to, right? It's a unique heter. So those are explanations as to why. The one where we just kind of move it a little into tzafon, I'm not sure where that comes from. We haven't seen it inside, so.
What did they have to do this completely, like, by darshanim? Why is there no memory? I could see no memory of how they did it things. But there were some people in the Beit Kiva, I mean, there were some people who were, so they must have had some memory of where things were. Because this is a major...
Yeah, it's a very good question. So first of all, you mostly see testimonies of things that happened. There's Hanina Skana Kohanim or sort of thing, I think his name was, or Abba Hanania, I forget what his name was. But there was a guy we saw in Yoma a lot, that he would be the guy who would tell people things happened in the Mikdash, because the regular average people weren't in the Mikdash. So, and you're talking already, Rabbi Akiva's after the Korban. So you're talking, you know, he was in Merib Bar Kokhba, that's already 70, 80 years after the Korban. So they didn't have a memory of it, it seems. And they, you know, there weren't enough people left to tell them the details. And people don't always remember, you know, you have to think about it. It was there, but who remembers exactly where it was? And, you know, those aren't things necessarily people remember unless they designed it. The people who designed it obviously were, you know, long gone.
It's also interesting, interesting that they're basing everything in the Torah from the Mishkan.
Right.
And you can't really extrapolate.
Well, today we're going to have a whole difference between the Mishkan's measurements and, yeah, also. Right. Okay, so now... So now the question is, if you're going to say it's bein ulam lemizbeach, and then mishoch kim'ah klapei adarom, so basically it's between the ulam and the mizbeach, but not opposite the mizbeach, it's going to have to be over to the south. So my kasavar, ikasavar kule mizbeach b'darom kai, if the whole mizbeach is in the darom, nukma mikotel hechal v'ladarom bein ulam lemizbeach. Take the wall of the hechal, go southward, right, and go between the ulam and the mizbeach. In other words, if you don't want it to be opposite the hechal, because you want there to be an opening to the mizbeach, and remember, we're going to see it whether it's the red lines or the purple lines, right? Whether it's the opening of the hechal or whether. So let's say you say the petach ol moed is the opening of the hechal. So and the mizbeach is in the south. So put the kiyur right over here, right between the ulam opening and the mizbeach. That would be ideal because at least it's the opening of the ulam. It sounds close like to the pasuk. And if you say the kedusha of the echal and the ulam is all one, and then you can't do it there because you need to have an open space between the opening of the ulam and the mizbeach, so then move it over right past that opening of the ulam, and you'll still have it between the wall of the ulam and the wall of the mizbeach, and that would be a better place. You shouldn't have to go beyond the mizbeach where it's no longer. Now, this again, you're going to end up. The way the Braita says it, you no longer have the kiyur bein ol moed lemizbeach, like the pasuk says. Obviously, the only reason you're doing it there is because there's no choice. So now they're going to say, right? So nukma mikod ulam ladarom bein ulam lemizbeach. Right? Then it will be between the ulam and the mizbeach. Inami kasavar chetzio b'tzafon v'chetzio b'darom. Okay, if you say it's half-half, so remember, how many amot did we have left over to the Darom side of the Mizbeach? We had, from the opening of the Echal, there were 11 Amot, and from the opening of the Ulam, there were 6 Amot, so that's enough space to put the Kiyur. So, again, they're going to say, if Chetzio B'Darom, Chetzio B'Tzapom, Chetzio B'Darom, Nukma Mikotel Hechal V'Ladarom Bein Ulam LeMizbeach. So again, put it within those 11 Amot. And Inami Kasavar Kedushat HaUlam VeEchal Chadehi. And if you think the Kedusha of the Ulam is the same, and then you have to have that whole open space open between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, so again, you still have 6 Amot left. Nukma Mikotel Ulam V'Ladarom Bein Ulam LeMizbeach. So therefore, elalav mishum de kasavar kule mizbeach b'tzafon. So that must be that the whole mizbeach b'tzafon, and that's why they had to put it on the southern point tip of the mizbeach. So you end up with the space between the ulam and the mizbeach on the northern side is open where the mizbeach is, and as soon as you go past there, you end up you're opposite the opening of the ulam. But you're no longer opposite the mizbeach because there's no way to do it. And then they're going to say, well, again, and as I told you the punchline, but assume that we don't know that yet. So they say, kinami mukman lemi kotel hechav ala tzafon. Do the mirror image of what we tried to do on the daram side. Why don't you put it on the side, on the tzafon, between where the ulam wall is and the mizbeach is, right? In other words, either if you hold just the hechal, then you could put it over here, and if you hold the ulam is the same as the hechal, then you'd have to put it more to the north. Okay, so now they're going to suggest, why don't we do that? Havale ben ulam lamizbeach, right? And then it would be ben ulam lamizbeach, and that would be better. V'nukme mikotel ulam v'latzafon ben ulam lamizbeach. Or, alternatively, if you think the heichal and the ulam are the same, then at least from the kotel of the ulam v'latzafon ben ulam lamizbeach, and it's past the opening of the ulam. So they say, amakra tzafona. The pasuk says, you should sacrifice them al yerach hamizbeach tzafona. How do they, so what do they darshan from here? Since it has to be done, the tzafon has to be panoy mikelim, and therefore the kior can't be there. Okay. So all that is to explain that this source that said in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili must be assuming that the mizbeach is in the tzafon, which means that the previous mishnah that we saw, that we tried to prove, that Rabbi Zeira tried to bring a proof, that Rabbi Yossi, it must be Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi holds the mizbeach in the tzafon, actually, in fact, could be Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So we have three interpretations. Either that mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, they talked about the four amot, there has to be four amot off from the to the north, could either be mizbeach is b'tzafon, or it could be mizbeach is chetzio chetzio, which is Rabbi Yehuda, or it could be mizbeach b'tzafon, but not Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So we have three different possibilities. Okay. Now they're going to say, Man talan as a paligale to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Now they're going to say, we didn't yet have an author for who says the Mizbeach is B'darom. Now we're going to learn that it's Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Titania, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Omer, Tzafona. Sheyehei Tzafon panu mikelim v'afilu mina Mizbeach. Okay? He doesn't say explicitly the Mizbeach is in their own, but he says it implicit, right? It's obvious that if he says that Tzafon has to be panu mikelim, even the Mizbeach, then the Mizbeach can't be but Tzafon. Okay. Amarav, you could see, by the way, if we have all these people who seem to indicate, right, well, Rabbi Yossi Aglili didn't say it explicitly, but Rabbi Yehuda said it explicitly that it's chetzi chetzi. And Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, it's clear he holds bidarom. That's why they're struggling with this opinion that it's kulo but Tzafon. Does it really appear anywhere? You notice nobody, it's never said in anybody's name explicitly. Which is strange, right? In other words, you wonder, is it really an actual shita or not? Okay, Amarav. Now we're moving to a totally different topic, although we'll see where I think the overlap comes and why it's here. Amarav. Mizbeach shenifkam, kol akodashim shenishchitu sham psulim. If the mizbeach gets, let's say it's made of stone, and the stone breaks, okay? And it's pagum. So any kodshim that were nishchat sham are psulim. Meaning, if you sacrifice an animal, but you didn't yet sprinkle the blood, and then the mizbeach becomes invalidated, right? You can't use the mizbeach. So your animal is psul. Meaning, right, when you fix the mizbeach, it's what we call dachoy. It's dachoy, you can't bring that as a korban later when you fix the mizbeach. So that's Rav's opinion. Mikrahu biyadenu b'shachnuhu. We had a pasuk to prove this, but we don't remember it anymore, okay? In other words, the people said, oh, right, this is, here, one second, right? It's just Amar Rav, and then they say we had a pasuk, but we forgot it. Okay, this is obviously later after Rav said it. Kisalik Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana came up, I guess Salik, right, usually I'm trying to think which direction he went.
It's from Babel.
Okay, so when he went to Eretz Yisrael, all right, that makes sense because we'll see. Eshkachel Rabbi Shimon Berebi. He meets Rabbi Shimon Berebi, who's living in Eretz Yisrael, right? How do you know the difference? Because Rav is the Babylonians, and the ones who lived in Israel were called Rebbe because they got smicha, and in Chutz Aretz couldn't get smicha. Eshkachel Rabbi Shimon Berebi. To Kaamar Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Berebi Yosi. Minayin, so now we're going to see that when he meets Rabbi Shimon Berebi, he's going to get the source as to how we know this.
Shenemar, Bizavachta Allah, remember this pasuk, we had it yesterday. Mizbeach Adama Taseli, Bizavachta Allah et Olotecha v'et Shlamecha. I'm assuming this is why the sugya comes here, because yesterday we used it to darshan that the Mizbeach could be used for sacrifices, right? So now what are they going to darshan from this? Bechi Allah v'tazovech? Do you really think the pshat is coming to tell you, and this is why I really think it's here, besides just that it's connected with the pasuk, but what was our whole Mishnah? That if you slaughter on top of the Mizbeach, you can do that, right? Depending on which side, maybe. There's a machloket. But here, they're saying, what are you talking about, you slaughter on top of the Mizbeach? That can't be what the pasuk's saying. In other words, which then just takes our Mishnah and means, we asked yesterday, what you think really people did shechita? This shows that even though our Mishnah is really theoretical. And it's theoretically, you could do it, but that's really not what you're doing on top of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is for burning things. It's not for slaughtering things. And therefore, I think this, even though this sugya is a totally different sugya, it's being brought here to show you this pasuk, that this pasuk kipshuto is really not what it was meant for. So therefore, what do they explain here? I think they're using, I'm assuming, that they're using the word etchlamecha to teach you shalem, okay? Kishuhu shalem velo kishuhu chaser. Okay, you can only slaughter the animals, right, when it's shalem and not when it's chaser. In other words, you can only bring your korbanot if the mizbeach was shalem, the way they explained it is, if it was shalem when you did your shechita. Okay? But if it was, or if it was, you know, if it's shalem even later than that, really. Amar, hainu krad de ishtemi le l'rav. So they said, this is the pasuk that Rav forgot. Okay, that's what Rav Kahana heard him say this. He said, oh, that's the pasuk that Rav couldn't remember. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan amar, echad ze vi echad ze psulim. Okay, now, it was weird because Rav didn't say, this is pasul and this is not. So what's he talking about? Okay, so remember what Rav said. Rav said specifically, if you had already shechted something and then it becomes pagum, then the animal is dachoy. But Rabbi Yochanan said, echad ze vi echad ze psulim. So we don't know what this means yet. B'mai pligi, Rav savar ba'alei chayim einam nidchim. Rabbi Yochanan savar ba'alei chayim nidchim. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about whether it was shechted or whether it wasn't yet shechted. If you designated an animal for a korban, and then the mizbeach becomes pagum, then it's also dachoy. And Rav says, it's only if you already slaughtered it. If you haven't slaughtered it yet, then it doesn't disqualify it. It's too early in the process, and it's also a live thing. He claims that live animals, that's what the concept is here, live animals do not become dachoy. Only once they're shechted already can they become dachoy. We've seen distinctions between live and dead, and with tameh, remember, a live animal can't become tameh, only a dead one can become tameh, so maybe there's a similarity here to what they're saying. Meitivei. Now we're going to have a question on Rav. So again, Rav said it's only when you shecht it that it can become disqualified. So now we're going to bring a source that contradicts. Kol ha-kodashim shehayu ad shelo nivneh ha-mizbeach. Okay? Any kodashim that were there before the mizbeach was built. V'achar kach nivneh ha-mizbeach psulim. Okay? And then the mizbeach was built. Anything that was kodesh before is now pasul. So first they're going to explain, what are we talking about? Nivneh. If you say ad shelo nivneh ha-mizbeach, they're now going to say there's a problem with this braita. It's not going to be read exactly as it seems to be. If you say nivneh, so ad shelo nivneh, that's called dichuyim me'ikara ninhu. That's a case, if the mizbeach isn't built and you designate an animal, that's called dachuy me'ikara. What does that mean? It means from the beginning it was never even valid to be a sacrifice. Now there's a machloket amoraim in a different sugya that this point is debatable. If something is dachoy me'ikara, then maybe that's not dachoy. When we say dachoy, it has to be something that was ra'oy, then became dachoy, and only after did it become, right, and then after, we can't bring it back again. But if something was never valid to begin with, because there was no mizbeach, then that's not necessarily the same thing, and therefore, and there's machloket about it, and therefore he says, it doesn't seem like that's what this braita is saying. Ella, ad shelo neheras ha-mizbeach. So maybe we're talking about between, let's say, bayit rishon and bayit sheni. Okay? So if you separated the animal, kol ha-kodashim shayu ad shelo neheras ha-mizbeach,
Okay? And then the second Beit HaMikdash gets rebuilt. Okay, you can already see where the problem is going to be here. Second Beit HaMikdash gets rebuilt. You can't bring them as sacrifices. Because when they, right, that's not Tachlei Me'ikara, because it was okay. You designated it before. And then, but Neheras Ha Iskun Lehu. But those animals are going to be too old by the time the next Beit HaMikdash is built. They obviously aren't going to be relevant. So it can't be that. Eli must be our case. In other words, even though it says Ad Shelo Nivne, which doesn't mean Nivne, it doesn't mean Neheras. It must mean Ad Shelo Nivgam HaMizbeach V'Chakach Nivgam HaMizbeach Psulim, which means exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. Right, that if you designate your makidi, right? What did it say in the Brayta? Look carefully. Kol kodashim shayu. That means it doesn't say they were slaughtered. It says any kodashim that were there, meaning they were designated, and then nifgama mizbeach, and then you fix it, meaning the animals aren't too old at that point because you just fixed it up, right? Then those they're psulim. So then they say, wait a minute, you're going to say that's a question of Rav? V'lo terutze kama taratzat? You already claim that this braita has issues with it, and you're fixing it up. So if you're already fixing it up to say what you think it means, so fix it up to say what I say. Okay? Ema shenishchitu, in other words, read it like this. Kol ha-kodeshim, not shahayusham, but kol ha-kodeshim shenishchitu, ad shelo nifgam ha-mizbeach, v'acharkach nivneh, or, you know, nitkan, I guess you would say. So once you change it to just say nishchitu. In other words, already if it's a problematic braita, we're assuming it came down to us in a problematic manner. And therefore, if you're fixing it up to match what you want to say, so fix it up to match what I say. And therefore, it's not a question. But now they're going to question Rav from something he himself says. Bahama Rav Gidol Amarav, Mizbeach Shene'ekar Maktirin K'toret Bimkomo. Now this is a little strange, because we're using the Mizbeach HaKtoret and not the Mizbeach. Remember, there's two Mizbechot. Let's just keep reviewing. There's a Mizbeach HaZahav, which is in the Hechal, and it was used for the Ktoret every day. That's the only thing it was used for, and for the blood, right? It was the only thing that was burned on there, and it was used for the blood sprinklings on Yom Kippur and the Parlam Dabar Shel Tzibur, right? All the Chataot HaPnimiyot were done in there. Then there's the Mizbeach outside, okay, which is called sometimes the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. We're going to see that today. And so now we're talking about the Mizbeach outside where they burn the animals on, but they're using an example from the Mizbeach HaKtoret. So if you have a Mizbeach, Shene'ekar, okay, that's no good anymore, like let's say they took it out, it needs to be fixed or something, Maktirim K'toret Bimkomo. You can do the K'toret in its space, which means what? Which means even when it's disqualified, it's not really disqualified because you can use the space to burn the Mizbeach. If you remember, we saw that the kol ha'azara, the floor was all sanctified, and you could use it for haktarat imurim. Right? You could do that part on the floor of the azara also. So now you see, even without the Mizbeach, okay, there we weren't talking about that there was no Mizbeach. They're just saying, in theory, you could if you needed the space. But here it's saying, even if the Mizbeach is no good, you could do the ktoret in the space where the Mizbeach was on the floor. So now they say, here you see, even though something was dachoy, right? He says it's dachoy, and here it seems to imply you could still continue with your avoda, even though the mizbeach is no longer there. So now they answer, k'da'ama Rava, like Rava says, mode haya Rabbi Yehuda b'damim, hachanami mode Rav b'damim. The need for Mizbeach is for the blood. Okay? In other words, for the blood you need the Mizbeach. So let's say in the Mizbeach HaPnimi, let's say the Mizbeach wasn't there. What does it say you could do? You can burn the Ketoret, but you can't put the blood. So therefore, we're going to say that also here, we're talking about things that are blood associated, meaning Shchita, Zrika, all the processes that we want to do. And therefore, if there's no Mizbeach, you can't do them. The Ketoret is something different. And in theory, you could claim that this answer also, some people say, this answer really is talking about that you're comparing apples and oranges. You compare the Mizbeach HaKtoret to the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. They're two different things. Okay? My Rabbi Yehuda, where do we see this Rabbi Yehuda, that he's Modeh B'damim? Ditanya Bayom Ahu Kidesh HaMelech. Okay, this is Shlomo HaMelech doing the Chanukah Beit HaMikdash. Toch HaChatzer. Okay, I have to read the whole pasuk. Bayom Ahu Kidesh HaMelech El Toch HaChatzer Asher Lefnei Beit Hashem. Ki Asa Shem Et Ha'Ola Ve'Et HaMincha Ve'Et Chavei HaShlamim. Ki Mizbach HaNechoshet Asher Lefnei Hashem katon mehachil et ha'ola ve'et mincha ve'et chabei ha'shlamim. What did he do? This is exactly what we saw, what I said a minute ago. He was mekadesh the floor of the asara in order to burn the sacrifices because there was not enough room on the mizbach ha'nechoshet, it was too small. Okay? So he's dvarim kichtavan divrei Rabbi Yehuda. He says, right, the mizbach was too small, and therefore he was able to do it. Just one second. Right, so here you see, one second, according to this, Mizbeach Damim. Right. So according to this, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, what did they allow this for? They only allowed it for, one second, I think, give me a minute. Okay, so that's going to come up later, but yeah.
They can burn on the courtyard floor.
Right, they can burn the imurim, right. We're going to see. Not the slaughtering and the slaughtering anyway didn't happen on the Mizbeach.
But they can't do the dam.
Right, they can't do the dam. That's what it is, right? They can't do the dam, and, right, I guess it's really mainly the dam. Okay? So the damim, ma'akev, because it says v'zavachta, and therefore, one second. Okay, fine. There's another point here, by the way, that it wasn't really Mizbech and Choshet. It was called Mizbech and Choshet because that's what it was called in Moshe's time. It was actually made of Evan, which we learned the other day. Remember, the Chudas Sikra couldn't be the way it was in the Mishkan because of that. Okay, so now we're going to continue along in this source. So he claims that we read this pasuk exactly as it sounds, which basically means there wasn't enough space on the Mizbeach to do all the sacrifices that Shlomo wanted to do. We'll see soon that there were 142,000 sacrifices he wanted to make. There wasn't enough space for them, and therefore he was mekadesh the floor so they could do the haftarat imurim there. Okay, but not the blood. Amar li Rabbi Yossi, v'lo kvar ne'amar, elef olo ya'aleh Shlomo al ha'mizbeach ahu. Okay, this is in the Mishkan. Okay, this is before. Okay, it says Vayelech HaMelech Giv'ona Lizboch Sham Ki Hi HaBama HaGdola. Okay, this is the Bama HaGdola, where the assumption was the Mizbach HaNechoshet of Moshe was, and he did there Elef Olot. Okay, we're now going to have a whole discussion about the sizes of the Mizbachot. Erase this. We'll need it to talk about dimensions. Okay, of the Mishkan versus the Mizbach that Shlomo built. Ve'ilu bebeit olamim hu omer, ve'yizbach Shlomo et zevach ha'shlamim asher zevach la'ashem bakar 22,000, okay, 22,000 bakar, and it doesn't tell you the rest, but the rest of that pasuk says, bitzon me'a ve'esrim elef, 120,000 son. So altogether, 120 and 22 is 142,000. So he wanted to do 100, so in the Mizbeach on the Bama, he was able to do the Mizbeach on the Choshet, 1,000. And the Mizbeach in the Beit HaMikdash, he wasn't able to do 142,000. There wasn't enough space for 142,000. Now they're going to show that mathematically, that's not true. Okay? And you can't say that it was too small to fit all 142,000 sacrifices, okay? Even though it sounds like it. In one day. We're talking about in one day. Okay, not all at the same time, but in one day.
142 to be a lot, and then you got to the 1,000.
So wait. So here, we're going to do the math. Okay? It's all going to depend on what were the dimensions of the Beit HaMikdash one and what were the dimensions of the Mishkan, okay? Kshata migia lecheshbon olot uleminyan amot, ze gadol mize. Okay, when you get to do the cheshbon, you're going to see that ze gadol mize. Okay, what's the cheshbon? So the cheshbon is that the, right, it doesn't yet say this inside. Right, it doesn't really talk about inside, so you have to, it's outside. So now, how does it work? So, the Mizbeach Nechoshet, it says, okay, the Pasuk says, let me read it to you. Basita Mizbeach Hatzei Shitim, it's Shmo Kav Zayin, it's Gimel here in my Torah Or. Chamesh Amot Orech, v'chamesh Amot Rochav. Okay, it was 5 by 5, okay, as opposed to ours, which is 32 by 32, right? So you can see it's already a lot smaller. It was 5 by 5. V'chamesh Amot Rochav, Ravu Yehiyah Mizbeach, it should be square-shaped. V'shalosh amot komato, and it's 3 amot tall. Okay, that's not important yet, although we'll get back to that later. Okay, height of 3 amot. Yeah, if it's 5 by 5, you have the kronot take up 1, okay? Which really means on a line of 5, they take up 2, right? Because there's 1 on each side. So you're left with a space of 3 by 3 in the middle. But because the kronot are there, you need a space for people to walk around. If you built the whole ma'aracha there and the kronot are there, you won't be able to walk around. So you have to leave an ama around each, right? An ama here, an ama there, an ama there, an ama there. You're, again, minus 2, you're left with 1 by 1. Okay? So it's an ama by an ama. Now, if an ama by an ama can do 1,000, the space of the mizbeach, okay, the assumption is, I don't remember where this comes from, but how the measurements work out, but it's 20 by 20 in the Beit HaMikdash one. The space where the ma'aracha stood is 20 by 20. So 20 by 20 is 400 square amot. So it's 400 times that amount. So 400 times 1,000 is 400,000. So they could have, in theory, done 400,000 easily. 400,000, mathematically speaking, in a day. So therefore, okay, so remember, Rabbi Yehuda said katan meant literally. There really wasn't enough space, and that's why he was makadesh the ritzpah. But Rabbi Yossi says, what's Rabbi Yossi? Yeah, Rabbi Yossi says, no, can't be. So therefore, ela mau katan, right? That's why it says zegadomizeh, right? In other words, this has more space for way more korbanot. It could even do 400,000, more than we need. Ela mau katan, mehachil, ke'adam ha'omer lechavero ploni nanasu pasul avodah. If you say, oh, that guy is a midget, right? That guy's a midget and can't do the avoda, doesn't really mean he's a midget. Doesn't really mean he's small. It just means he has a mum and he can't do the avoda. Okay, it's a weird image he's using. But what he's saying is, when you say katan alai, right? What does katan alai mean, right? In other words, katan just means it's small, it's not good. In other words, right, katan alai maybe isn't the best word, but it's a zilzul a little, right? Katan alai is, it's your...
Rosh katan doesn't refer to the size of his head.
Exactly.
His abilities.
Exactly. So here we're saying, it's pasul, it was katan, it wasn't good. Why was it pasul? Because the mizbeach of Moshe was used, we didn't have the Beit HaMikdash. He's in the sanctification ceremony. He's saying, this is no longer, right? This is going out, that one's coming in. So he's saying, I'm going to sanctify the floor now because... You know, we're and then it's not really relating as much to the floor. It's really saying we're taking this one out of service, right? We're putting it away. Rabbi Yehuda, Shapir Kamba Rabbi Yossi. So they say, hey, Rabbi Yehuda, what are you going to answer to this? That's actually a pretty good answer, Rabbi Yossi said. Rabbi Yehuda litame damar mizbech shasam Moshe gadol haya. Ah. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't, it's actually really interesting here. What happens in the... So keep about Shlomo, Rabbi Yehuda says, Dvarim hichtavan, the things are exactly as they're written. But when it comes to the Mizbeach and the description, he says, oh, the Chamesh Amot v'Chamesh Amot, that doesn't really mean Chamesh Amot. Okay? Chamesh Amot Rochav v'Chamesh Amot, Orech v'Chamesh Amot Rochav, Dvarim kichtavan divrei Rabbi Yossi. There Rabbi Yossi says it's exactly as it is. This is where you see that people do what works for them, right? Rabbi Yehuda Omer ne'amar kam ravua, v'ne'amar lahalam ravua. By Yechezkel, the description of the Mizbeach and the Midot of the Mizbeach, there's a debate whether he's talking about the Beit HaMikdash HaShini or he's talking about the future Beit HaMikdash. And there it says ravua. And there it talks about 12 amot, and it says, like in all four sections, there's something, it says it's something here. Bahar Ariel, 12, I'm reading from Yechezkel Mem Gimel Tet Zayin, it's Dalet here in my Torah Or. V'hariel shtemesre orech b'shtemesre rochav. Okay, it was 12 by 12. Ravua, square, el arba'at riva'av. For all four quarters of it, which means that it was really 24 by 24. Okay? So now what does he say? 1 second. So the ravua there is like the ravua by the ravua by us in the Mizbeach, means that it wasn't 5 by 5, it was actually 20 by 20. Okay? In other words, or maybe they say it's 10 by 10. Well, actually, no. They say it's 10 by 10. They just say, I don't know, right, because if that was, right, because it's 5 in each one, so you would end up with, whatever, it would be 10 by 10. Okay, so if it's 10 by 10, right, that was 12 and it was 24 by 24. So again, take away 1, okay, on each side, which is really minus 2, you have 8. Okay, then take away 1, right, you get to 6. So you get to 6 by 6, right? This space in the middle is 6 by 6. 36 square amot to 400 is like close to 1/11. So 1/11, you could do 11,000 in a day. So really the Mizbeach then is katan. Okay, you can see how this math gets you. Okay, what did you want to say?
Just something technical that I remember a few days ago. I questioned why they were using Malbein as square.
Mm.
The word Malbein.
And here they use Ravua.
Specifically Ravua.
Right. Right, it's a good question. Yep. You see they're interchangeable. Okay.
Shouldn't be.
No, but a Malbein generally can refer to any four-sided thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that. I still think that. Haven't changed my mind. Also, this is, you have to remember, you can't really compare, because this is Tanakh Hebrew, and Lashon Chachamim is different from Tanakh Hebrew. So it could be that in the time of the Chachamim, they really didn't use that word. I don't know. We'd have to check that. But, yeah, I don't know the answer to that, whether that's true or not. Okay. So now we say, right, so how do we know up there? Etc. And then like I read the end of that pasuk, which is important, where it says Ravu al Arba'at Rava'av. Oh, we know Ella, you better your back. Right, sorry. First they say, Hariel Shtem Asrayama l'chol ruach, it's 12 on each side. Oh, Eina Ella, you bet a yubet, right? Or maybe it's so what are they asking? Is it 12 ama l'chol, right, each half is 12 by 12? Or Eino Ella, you bet a yubet, or is the whole thing 12 on 12? So Keshu Omer al Arbat Rava'av Melamed Sheba Emtza Hu Modeid. Okay, and therefore it's 24 by 24. So now, what about Rabbi Yossi? Doesn't he have this Zereshava Ravua Yiyeh? So what does he do with the word Ravua Yiyeh, which appears by the Mizbeach? He must darshan something from there. So Rabbi Yossi Ki Gamar Zereshava. And why is it unnecessary? Because it already said it's 5 by 5. Obviously, it's going to be a square. Right? That's obvious. So Ki Gamar Zereshava Bigov Hahu Degamir. He says, I have a Gzerah Shava with this Ravua, but it's a Gzerah Shava to somewhere in the Torah, not to Yechezkel. What's my Gzerah Shava? About the height. Ditanya. V'shalosh amot, that's why I told you. It's not necessarily going to be 3 amot tall. Okay? The Torah says it's 5 by 5, 3 amot high. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's 10 by 10, 3 amot high. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's 5 by 5, but it's not 3 amot high. We're going to see exactly how high it is in a minute. He uses Ravua to teach you about the Gova, Titania. V'shalosh amot kamato, tvarin kichtavan, tvar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's back to his shita. That part is exactly as it says. Rabbi Yossi omer ne'mar kam Ravua, v'ne'mar lahalam Ravua. By the other Mizbech, the Mizbech Ktoret. Ma lahalam govho pishnayim ke'orko. There the height was double its width. It was, what was it? I think it's, I forgot now, what were the measurements? 3 by 3 and a height of 6, or what was it? 4 by 4 and a height of, I forget. Does it say here? Begapo, it's Ama Orkova Ama Ruchbova Amatayim Komato. Sorry, it was 1 by 1, right? That makes sense. It's very small. 1 by 1 with a height of 2. Okay, so there, just like the Gova is twice its length, Afkan Pishnaim Ke Orko. Okay, so therefore it's also Pishnaim. Okay, so now, I forgot, I really wanted to say something interesting before. Okay, so, fine. So let's stop here. We'll stop here with this. I just want to finish with one interesting point about the Mizbech HaKtoret that I wanted to mention earlier when we were comparing the Mizbech HaKtoret to the Mizbech Nechoshet. So the Meshech Chachma in Shmot points out that when it talks about Asita Mizbech HaKtoret, he says, right, we had this whole thing that we learned earlier that the Mizbech isn't Makev. Not having the Mizbech HaKtoret is a Makev, but not having the Mizbech HaNechoshet is Makev. Now you would think, right, the Mizbech HaKtoret is inside the Kodesh, it's maybe more holy, you put the Dam on the, right, it's very, but anyway, the Meshech Chachma points out that, he actually quotes Ibn Ezra, that Ibn Ezra didn't understand why the Tzivoy to make the Mizbech HaKtoret comes at the end, the whole end of the Parshat HaMishkan and the Miluim. Okay, it's like almost like an added thing, as opposed to when it described all the Kelim. So he says, "Ha'ikar ki kol tzivuyim kimo ha'aron, im ein aron, ein menichim luchot, b'chein b'lo mizbech, ein markivim olad ha'tamid." He says the reason why it was separate was to show, just like we see in our Gemara, that the mizbech itself wasn't makev. Okay, right below begadim, the kohen can't work. Below menorah, you can't do nevo. Below shulchan, ein menichim lachem apanim. But mizbech mitar ktoret she'ikaro lekach shakaparot shabaim b'yom kippurim eino rak lechaper tumah mikdash v'kodeshav. He says something really interesting. the kapara that we get from the blood there is all for, we learned this all in Yediyot HaTumah, this connects all sorts of things we learn about. If you didn't know you were Tameh, or you didn't know there was a Surah Gale into the Beit HaMikdash when you're Tameh, they're only things Beit HaMikdash related. They're not things that you would need kapara if there were no Beit HaMikdash. And that puts it in a different category than all the other things which are providing atonement for things that always need atonement, whether there's a Beit HaMikdash or whether there's not. So I thought that's a very nice concept. And therefore, that's how he explains that without this, right? That's what he says. Right? If you're supposed to do it inside, but you do it outside, you do get kapara. You just can't eat the meat. Remember, we learned that. So this is coming to explain the reason behind all those things, because this is such a unique category that it only deals with things that you wouldn't need were there not Beit HaMikdash. Okay, and then I wanted to point out one other thing, which is that there's a problem because with the Braita of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi actually quotes a Braita that says the opposite. It says, Shulchan menorah u'mizbechot ma'akvin et ha'korbanot. And that without the mizbechot, now you could say maybe there's a mistake in the Braita, and it really means mizbech, and it's only talking about the mizbech ha'chitzon. But there is some alternate opinion here relating to the mizbech ha'ktorah.